Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to the Lord. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time of sharing your word. And we pray that the awesome power of the Holy Ghost will now take this word and unfold it, illuminate it, bring understanding to it for each hearer's heart today. And God, meet us right where we are in our faith walk and in our life, in our situations, difficulties and struggles. And show us that in those things, you're still God. You have the power to conquer, change, and to control as we simply trust and obey your word. Now do afresh in this text as only you can do, and in every hearer's heart. It is my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to turn to the second book of the Bible, namely the book of Exodus. Exodus. 14th chapter. And we want to commence reading at verse 10. Exodus chapter 14 and beginning at verse 10. Recorded are these words. And when Pharaoh drew near or nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearers, and more especially the doers of his word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, stand still and watch God do it. Stand still and watch God do it. As you know this familiar story, you will recognize that the children of Israel had been cut off in terms of communications with God for some 430 years. God raised up a man of God, put his word in him, and gave him the plan and the power to enact what God had told Moses to do, which was to go and declare who he was to Pharaoh and to give Pharaoh a message, a simple message. Tell him, I said, let my people go. He had this demonstration to do because in the Israelites' eyes, the Pharaoh had become the God just as he was in many senses to the Egyptians themselves. God, whenever challenged as to who he is and his supremacy, will always show you that there is no showdown when he has to defend who he is. He wanted the Egyptians to know that Pharaoh wasn't all they thought he was, nor his gods or his powers or all that he represented as the potentate of Egypt. He wanted to show Israel that he was, even though I am that I am, was not a name of familiarity, was still the one who was able to back up what he said. When he told Moses to go to Pharaoh and to tell him and them who asked who he was, that I am had sent thee, he so authorized Moses to work, to walk, to talk, and to function on behalf of him as it related to the will that he had revealed to Moses in the earth realm. So in essence, what you will see in Scripture is that God gave Moses the power when he gave him the command to tell him to lead his people out of Egypt into that place that he would tell him. He gave him the authority and the power to accomplish and to conquer anything and anybody who would get in the way of the divine plan of God. Amen. One of the things that would be helpful to us today, brothers and sisters, is to know this, that if God calls you to do something, and or he places his will in your heart and gives you his word as a basis, a backup, then you need to know God has already ordered success for your situation. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have confrontations, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to have enemies to come against you, but what it does mean is if God said it, that settles it. So here, God had to prove not only to the Egyptians, but to the Israelites, that he was who he said he was. Now, here's some of the interesting thing. If you're reading this 14th chapter, you're going to see that God, let's look at verse 4, it says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord," and they did so. Now, God touched Pharaoh's heart, and actually, it was as if, when I read this, I mentioned earlier this morning, that it seemed as if God was unfair, that he would touch Pharaoh's heart to let him go, and then he would turn Pharaoh's heart to go back to hold them so that he would be able to prove who he was. But now the Spirit, as I ministered to the Word and the Word ministered to me and I shared in the study of this Word, the Spirit of the Lord said, God did not turn Pharaoh's heart back. What he did was uncovered or revealed Pharaoh's heart. The truth of the matter is, Pharaoh didn't want to let them go in the first place. And because he really didn't want to let them go, you'll see in Scripture that he says to himself, now what in the world, paraphrase, did I let these Israelites go for? Yeah. So he goes then and pursues them, because the truth of his heart was that God made him let him go, but he never would have done it on his own volition. So all God did was turn open the realities of his heart where he desired to capture them again when he counted up the cost that he was losing a whole lot of good slaves and he was going to go back and re-entrap them. So God simply revealed what his heart was. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know God many times will allow things to happen not only to show you what you are and what you desire, but to show others who you are and what you desire. So look again, because the end of that fourth verse says, and they did so. What does that mean? That meant that they went after the Israelites to capture them again and to bring them back in bondage. Verse 10 says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now here they were now. They had not had an experience in over 430 years with God. It is a new God to them, because generations that knew him before had passed on and died. These people had only heard about the God of Israel. They had not experienced him. So the reality was that they were not convinced nor convicted that this was the same God who was able to do all that their history had said he was capable of doing. They had lived with the Egyptians. They had lived under the Egyptians. They knew the power of the Egyptians. And so they rather stay in bondage with the Egyptians than to trust coming out of Egypt and trusting their God. Now look at what the Word says. In verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Now, have you noticed when you get scared and afraid, you start turning on those folk who are with you? I mean, look at what they're doing now. They are so afraid till it hurts, and they are turning. They cried to God, but they turned on Moses. Now they're telling Moses, because you came to Egypt and you didn't see any graves there, was it your desire to see us die out in the wilderness? Look at what they're saying. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? Why have you done this to us? Listen to what the Word says. To carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? Now look at this. They're in bondage. They're in captivity. They're the children of God. They're supposed to be on top, not the bottom, the head, not the tail. Moses is bringing to them the will of God, the word of God, and they're like, yeah, but we don't know that God. Listen, man, don't start no mess here. We got it good. Yes, we're in bondage, we're in slavery, but we get fed good every day. We got a place to sleep. They go on and they try to justify being in captivity. And how many folk you know try to justify being in a bad situation? When you try to show them the light, listen, this is what God has for you. Yeah, I know that's what the Lord had for me. But, you know, it ain't all that bad. We minister to folk who don't know their place in Christ, don't know their place in the natural realm. You have people in abusive relationships and so forth. You try, and that's why you ought to be careful about trying to intercede and try and be a part of something that somebody don't want to get out of. Law officers are dead today because they've gotten in a domestic dispute because somebody didn't want to be set free out of that Egypt experience they were in. Family members are lying in their grave now because they tried to help somebody get out of something they really didn't want to get out of. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you try to help someone to get out what they don't want to get out, you are not helping them. You are only hurting their situation more. Because they don't want to be set free. There are people in captivity in their spirits who don't want to be set free. They have become accustomed to being in bondage and they like it, not to the sense that they desire it, but they'd rather stay there than stir up anything. They'd rather stay there than shake up anything. They'd rather be in that situation than be set free from that situation. And so they don't understand that you have a will. Now they said to man, listen, don't start nothing here. Because we're in Egypt, we know we're in captivity, yeah, all that there, but leave us alone. Now it's good, all that some good talk about setting free, being free and all the rest of that, but we'll get killed. That was what their fear was. Look at what the Bible says. They said, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They didn't see liberty as transforming them and taking them to a better life. They saw leaving Egypt as dying in a place that they didn't know anything about. And the thing between the promised land and Egypt was the wilderness. They knew of the promised land, but they didn't know the land as well as they knew the wilderness that stood between the promise of God and their present situation. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, before you can get to your promised land, you're going to have to go through a wilderness experience. And what you've got to determine is whether your Egypt is worth staying here or going through a little hell to get to your heaven. Because the wilderness represented hell, it represented damnation, it represented all of the struggles and troubles of life, and so their wilderness experience to them was greater than them wanting and desiring to leave the Egypt land because they had found themselves a comfort zone in captivity. And brothers and sisters, there are some people who have found their comfort zone in captivity. You see some people going through things and you ask them, why are they going through this? Can I tell you, the Lord don't put you through some things you're going through. Some of those things you put yourself through. There are times that God desires to take us to another level and bring us to a higher height, but we have got to realize that we've got to let Egypt go before we can reach our promised land. And so here they'd rather have stayed where they were than to have what God had for them. Look at what the Bible says in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now look at what he says. First thing he says is fear not, because he wants to deal with the issues of their own insecurity and the fact that they don't know God. If they really knew God, then they wouldn't have the fear of the enemy who was pursuing them. But because the power and the presence of the enemy was more real to them than the knowledge and the relationship and fellowship with their God, fear entered into their hearts. So when fear entered into their hearts, they knew what they knew in Egypt as Pharaoh and the powers that be in that reality, but they didn't know the power of God. So there they are now afraid because they have been set free from Egypt, but in their minds, when they saw the Egyptians coming after them, they started saying, I knew this was too good to be true. They set us up to kill us out here. They let us go, and you know that the world has shown us that many times they'll set you free just to kill you. Y'all ought to hear me here. The enemy will try to set you up sometimes so that he can destroy you, and they were under the impression that's what the Egyptians did. They let us go so that they could kill us out in the wilderness. Look at what the Bible says. He says, fear ye not. Now you can't be in fear and stand still. Scary folk don't stand still. If you're scared of something, you ain't gonna stand still, you gonna run. But he knows that in order for them to stand still, they got to deal with the fear. What's causing you to run today? At the basis of your running is fear. But what's the fear? Because the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear. If he's not given us the spirit of fear, then that comes from the devil. No matter what your fear is, in what arena it is, fear did not come from the Lord. Not that kind of fear. And so notice here, he says, fear not. And then he says, stand still. Now, why does he want them to stand still? Because again, you can't run and see what God is doing. You got to get you a good, solid, stable position and watch him operate. The standing still was not of a physical posture in a moveless position as much as it was a confidence in the fact that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. That standing still meant don't let your faith wander off. Don't let doubt and fear creep in. Standing still means make a firm commitment to believe that God can back up what he says and hold on to that reality and don't let that go. Stand still. Stay right there with what got you freed and delivered from Egypt. That same power that delivered you from Egypt is the same power that can take you to the promised land. Now listen at this. The Bible says, and see the salvation of the Lord. You need to stand still and watch God do whatever he's going to do in your life. How many times, my brothers and sisters, and this only comes through experiences with people who have grown with God, but how many times have you in a situation, no matter what it was, what arena it was in, you tried to work it out? You had your own agenda. You had your own mind made up. You say, if I do it this way, this is going to come out. And when you tried to do it your way, you found out that the situation got worse. How many times in your own life, listen, because he says stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now that word salvation in the Old Testament 9 out of 10 times was connected with deliverance, though in the New Testament that same word is connected with the saving of souls. But here God had a dual connection with this same word, because not only did he want to deliver them out of their situation from Egypt and from their enemies, but he wanted to save them as his people. So this word salvation in the total sense meant everything that it was. And Moses said, stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. Stand still and see the victory of the Lord. Stand still and see the saving power of the Lord. And you won't know what God has done if you're running. Now listen at this. Listen. He says, which he will show to you today. Now, I like the way Moses said, listen, stand still. God's going to show you who he is. See, God can't show some of us who he is because we're too busy ripping and running, ducking and dodging. You know, we're too afraid to stand and say, God, you said it. Because that means we not only have to trust him, but we have to try him. And it sounds good in a song, but it becomes a whole nother thing when you're going through something. And so now when you look at it, he says, and I love this about it, Moses is not throwing himself the glory. He's throwing the glory to God. He's saying, listen, I'm not the hope. I'm not the Savior. I'm not your salvation. He says, look unto the Lord and see, listen, the salvation of the Lord. And the Bible says, which he will show to you today. Yeah. Now, how many of you know God doesn't have to come when you want him, but he can? Now, if he doesn't show up when you want him, it's because he doesn't see the same urgency that you see. And if he lets you go through something, it's only so in the end, you will become more developed, you will become more defined, you will become more refined, you will become more mature, and he will be able to take you to a higher height. There are some things you will never ever be until the Lord lets you go through some things. You will never walk closer to him until you've had to fellowship more with him. You'll not know how sweet communication is with God until you call upon him and talk with him and become so used to communicating with him that nothing else matters when you don't have conversation with God. It comes to a point in time where God wants you to lean on him, where you will be comfortable with knowing he can hold you up. Listen at this, because he says again, the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now you got to look at what he's saying, because later in the text you're going to see what he's saying, because that don't sound right. You're going to see them again no more forever. You're going to see them again no more forever. Now look at what he's saying, because he's trying. That talk don't make much sense to us, but you ought to have been there. When y'all wake up, y'all catch that. Moses was saying, these Egyptians you have seen today marching upon you, trying to overtake them in their pursuit of power, you will see them again, but the next time you see them won't be like the time that you're fearing right now. And then they will be no more, but you will remember how they were when they were in pursuit, and you will remember them how they were in defeat. It's all in the text. Just keep reading with me. Come on. Verse 14 says, the Lord shall, listen at this, fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now look at this, because some of us are not, you know, spiritual enough to catch this application here or illustration. But just go back to when you were, you know, younger. And if anybody ever called themselves going to fight your fight, notice what they would do. Of course, that was when I was going to school. If somebody was going to jump in and fight, they would push you back. And they jump on in there. And here you want to come around. You try. Now, if you were going to do anything, they wouldn't have had to jump in and help you. If I'm going to fight your back, hold. Yo, shut up your mouth, sit down, and watch me fight this thing. You do more than, you get somebody hurt the way you jump up there. Y'all ought to hear me today. Yes, sir. I just love it when some of y'all get so spiritual. Like you can't identify with what I'm talking about, but you've been there, and if not that, you know somebody been there. Now, listen to what Moses said. He said, God's going to fight your battle. Yeah, yeah. Now, while God is fighting, you just stand still and hold your peace. Yeah, yeah. Now, listen at this, because this is important. The peace that God gave them when Moses introduced them to this God that they had forgotten about in history, had told them about, that was a peace that he was real because he released them from the Egyptians' power. But between the Red Sea and their release, they lost their peace because they saw the enemy pursuing them. Now, my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, if God said anything, let the peace of God rest, reside, live, dwell in you, because if he said it, he has got to back it up. Don't get upset because your enemies start coming behind you. God's got this thing fixed. He knew they were going to come behind you when he let you go. And if he knew that beforehand, then don't you think he's made provisions for that situation when it comes up? Look at this, because I want you to see the word. The Bible says, again, verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now he gets upset with Moses, because Moses is crying to him now. Now Moses is crying to him because the people done turned on him. Now God is saying, what you talking to me? Don't talk to me, talk to them. I have already told you I'm going to deliver them, so it ain't between you and me. Do what you got to do. Now look at this now, next verse. Verse 16. He says, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now I want you to see something. God spoke. Now, he operated in the earth realm, but he did it through human personality. Listen to what I'm saying now. Though God has the power to do whatever he wants to do, in the earth realm, God must function by the laws he set up himself. So now he has given victory in the earth realm to man. Man functions under the influence and the authority of God to do what God's power can do, but he's going to do it through human personality. So he tells Moses, Moses, you stretch forth your rod. Now that water never would have divided if Moses wouldn't have obeyed God. The rod God gave to him, it was the rod that represented the staff or the power of God that God had placed in Moses' hand to give him the comfort and the assurance that what he had said he was going to back up. That rod represented the presence of God as well as the power of God. And when he had given him the plan of God, it was up to him to enact that plan. So he tells him, divide the Red Sea. Now look at what the word says. He says, while you're doing your part, listen, I'm going to do my part. Verse 17, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians that they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. God's serious about getting his honor, ain't he? He keep bringing that thing up, then I'm going to get my honor. Now listen, if he don't get it one way, he's going to get it another way. Look again at what verse 19, because here's where it becomes interesting now. Verse 19 says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Y'all ought to hear me. God juxtaposed the angel's power position in the pillar of fire in the cloud, and it was leading them to that place. Now let me show you how God is now. That same pillar of fire and that cloud and all of that that led them to that place was the same angel and power that he used to protect them when the enemy started coming up against them. Well, now since they were at the Red Sea and they couldn't go no more, look at what he said. Your position no longer needs to be in the front leading them there. Your position needs to come to the back of the camp and protect them. So now look at the way it was. On the back side of it, where the Egyptians were coming up, the cloud covered up the sun, so in midday it became midnight. Y'all ought to work a minute with me. But while it was midnight in their lives, it was midday in the Israelites' life. I ain't through with this thing here. Now they became confounded and they became confused at how all of a sudden it got night. They didn't know which way to go. They didn't know how to go right or to go left, to go forward or to go backwards. But while that was happening, God said, well, you ain't through with this yet here, Moses.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings and blessings from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Reverend Eugene Stevenson, pastor of the New Jerusalem Baptist Church in Alexandria, Louisiana, and New Beulah Baptist Church in Boyce, Louisiana.
The Word of God, Mark 16:15-16 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is